A recent study funded
Good morning and welcome to Autism Live. I'm Shannon Penrod and we're coming to you live from our studio in Woodland Hills. I'm excited to be here with you this morning. We were with you live on Saturday. I hope that you guys had a chance to watch that. If not, go back and look and see. Some of our red carpet things are really crazy and I'm so grateful that you guys put up with this because the thing about doing it live without having multiple cameras and multiple people to switch to is that there's really no place to hide. We had such a good time, though, at the first annual All Ghouls Gala that benefited Autism Care Today. And we had some wonderful celebrities and some fabulous press. I encourage you to check out, there are pictures of the event. You can put first annual All Ghouls Gala on things like Getty Images or Shutterstock and take a look at some of the amazing stars and celebrities that we had that came out. Good morning, Susie B. I was so proud of how diverse our red carpet was. If you watch any shows and you love watching folks who are considered diverse actors that maybe have other things going on, first I want to say that these are actors in their own right. Talented professionals who've been working on multiple shows and multiple projects, but also, perhaps they also would identify as having Down syndrome, or perhaps they would identify as being neurodiverse or being on the spectrum. But we had so many diverse actors on that red carpet on Saturday night. It just really made me so proud. Renee and Elvira, good morning. We did have some huge stars as well that we, Joe Mantegna and Gary Cole, amazing, amazing dads were there on the red carpet along with Fred Melamed. And Fred's somebody that, that name you might go, okay, I remember that name, but I can't picture. And then, of course, if you see a picture of Fred, you'll be like, oh, he's been in everything that you've ever watched, including WandaVision. So it was just such a thrill. We had such a good time. And at some place, we might even show you a picture of Dr. Grant Boucher, who was dressed as David Bowie as Iggy Pop. I walked by her three times and didn't recognize her. I was like, has anybody seen Doreen? I'm looking for Doreen. And I realized there she was. And of course, I was a nun. Because I've always wanted to be a nun, so why not? I'm not Catholic, but I always wanted to be a nun. So it's a problem. You have to take it out on Halloween, right? It was a really great event, and we're so grateful for the people who volunteered and the people who came and the people who participated and the people who donated, because that's really what it was a fundraiser so that there can be more grants for people who are in need, because let's face it, the need is pervasive, right? But I'm thrilled to be here. I'm still getting my voice back because there was a lot going on that night. But I'm excited to be here. We're live right now, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, a dozen other sites. Traven's going to show you in just a second. We're going to be talking today about our toolkit for surviving after a holiday, because we've given you a lot of prep for how to get ready for the holiday, how to deal with the sensory issues beforehand so that you set yourself up for success. But now today, even though most of you are going to be celebrating, by the way, happy Halloween. I've got my skull necklace on. We'll have it light up here in a minute. Most of you are still, you've still got the majority of your holiday to celebrate this afternoon and this evening. I want to put some things in your back pocket for tomorrow and the day after and how to survive this holiday and other holidays. Good morning, Anita from India. So thrilled that you're here. Because, whenever we're talking about behavior, we talk about the fact that, oh, lovely, Traven's starting to show you where you can watch the show. But we talk about that three-term contingency, which is that whenever we're having any kind of behavior, a good behavior, a challenging behavior, a behavior we want to see more of, or a behavior we don't want to see more of, there something happens, which is the antecedent, and then the behavior happens as a result of the thing that happened, and then we have the consequence, right? And if we want to change the behavior, so often we think, oh, well, we need to change the behavior. It's very hard to change behavior. And you don't have a whole lot of control over the individual or the behavior. But you can there are ways that you can change behavior is by changing what happens beforehand. Smacking my own bobblehead here. You change what happens beforehand, so maybe the behavior doesn't need to happen if it's a challenging behavior, or you change the behavior beforehand so a behavior is more likely to happen, or you change the consequence of it so that somebody doesn't get a reward for it, or they do get a reward for it, right? And that when you change those things, actually you can steer behavior in lots of directions that you want to see more of it. If you want a kiddo who you want them to be able to self-regulate, then we need to do some things beforehand to help them to self-regulate, and we need to congratulate them when they do self-regulate, right? So that's how you manipulate those things. All Hallows Eve today. Wonderful, yes. So today we've talked before about some of the antecedent strategies that we had about letting your child wear bits and pieces of the costume to get them used to it, practicing in different, in your house in different doors so that they could trick-or-treat, and practicing with the neighbors and so on and so forth, taking the pictures. The one thing I want to remind you is, like, take pictures before. If you had, if you had the opportunity this morning before your child went off to school and you took pictures, great, and you're going to try to take pictures later on. But if you really want to, like, make it so that you don't care in the moment, if the picture turns out or whatever, take the picture days before, right? But now we're in it. Today we're in it. So today I'm going to pack your bag full of some of the things that you can consider for tonight and tomorrow when you have to deal with the aftermath of everything, okay? So we're just going to launch right into this. This is the After Holiday Survival Kit, and this is the Halloween edition, but we're really going to try to put things in your backpack that are for all the holidays, right? That we all have good intentions, and we try to do that antecedent thing, and then we get to the holiday, and part of the fun of the holiday is that anything can happen, and your good intentions go out the window, right? And suddenly you just have to go with the flow, right? And I think that that's part of the fun of holidays, when you can go with the flow and have things be different. But for some of us, that's hard, because we have people that we love in our lives that go with the flow. It means a whole lot of things that can be really overwhelming to them. And let's not kid ourselves, it can be really overwhelming to us. I don't want to make it sound like sensory issues are only people who are on the autism spectrum. That's not it. That's not the truth. We all have sensory issues. We can all get to sensory overload. We can all get to the point where it's like, this isn't fun anymore, right? So we're going to talk about when it gets to that point and what do you do to reel it back in and get things back on schedule. That's what we're talking about. So one of the things that I think is really vital is that we start with clear rules. And part of the problem with holidays is that we may have already set up clear rules in our life about what we do, what is it, what's allowed, when is it allowed, how much is allowed, and where is it allowed, right? And we have that set up in our family. Then the holiday comes, and we send a message to our kids that, now all the rules are out the window, and, because we've told you don't talk to strangers, and now you're going to walk up to total strangers, bang on their door, yell trick or treat, and they're going to give you a treat. It's very hard for kids to understand that the rules are different, but our kids tend to be very rule-oriented, and they want to know what the rules are. I think that this is them being very savvy. I don't know if you've ever been, the first time that I ever went in the 80s to a Ponderosa steakhouse, I was flummoxed. I was used to going into a place where, you sit, you go into McDonald's and you walk up to the counter and you order. That seemed clear to me. Or you go into a restaurant and you wait for somebody to seat you, or if it's a certain kind of restaurant, you seat yourself and the waiter comes up to you, right? And then I went into a Ponderosa steakhouse and it was like, I don't know what the rules are. There were, you couldn't just go get a table. You weren't allowed to go get a table. There's like this cattle chute, and you go up and they're like, well, did you get a, did you pick what you wanted? No, the menu's back there. I didn't know. And I didn't want the steak, and so I didn't know how to order the salad bar. And I said to somebody, can somebody just tell me where the rules are posted? Because I was having anxiety, because I'm like, I don't understand what happens here. Now they have lots of restaurants like that, and I know that, but I didn't know that at the time. And I think that a lot of people, we had people at the party the other night, they're like, okay, what are the rules? Like, what's happening? Where am I allowed to go? What am I allowed to do? So on and so forth. People like rules. It's not just people on the spectrum. But how nice is it that folks on the spectrum want to know, like, what's the expectation here? What are the rules? And when they know what the rules are, sometimes they're like, wait a second, rule being broken here. I'm not sure I'm okay with that, right? So we need to be clear with them that today is Halloween. That means that the rules around Halloween are that you're allowed to dress up in a costume. You're allowed to talk to strangers if you're with mom or dad. Whatever your rules are, you can even make a little chart for them to say, here's what the rules are, right? But then after the holidays, we need to go back to either the old rules or new rules that aren't for Halloween but aren't fully the old rules, right? It's kind of like COVID. Like, are we doing masks? Are we not doing masks? Your kids have gotten a little bit more flexible with this because they've had to. So it's a great opportunity to talk with them about, okay, Halloween is over, and whether you put them to bed that night and don't go over, or the next morning, I really want you to, and you can make a chart, a representation, but have clear rules for them. You can make it visual for them. And the rules should reflect your values and what you can take. A lot of people go, oh, we let our kids stay up really late on Halloween. Okay. For a lot of people, because it's on a Monday, they're going to go to school in the morning, and school is going to expect them to be productive. Yeah, it's going to be not fun. I've been a teacher on the day after Halloween before. It's super not fun. But if they're smart, they'll know how to handle it. But you're going to decide for yourself what time they go to bed on Halloween. But the next morning, tomorrow morning, I really want to encourage you to talk about how much candy is allowed. When are you allowed to have candy? Like, I think, you know, for some parents, they're going to say, okay, I'm just making this up. You're allowed to have 2 pieces of candy a day, and you can't have them until your homework, after school, and your homework is done. And then the kids go, okay, I know what's allowed, I know when it's allowed, I know how much is allowed, and I know I'm having it at home because it's after I'm having, after I'm done with my homework. So there's a clear expectation. And I'm not doing that when they get home, I'm telling them that in the morning. Or even possibly the night before, okay, we're not gonna eat all the candy all at one time, 2 pieces a day. You know, for other people, they're going to make other rules and say, okay, you're allowed to have 2 pieces in your school box lunch that you can have it at lunch, but that's it. And then you come home and you can have a piece after dinner, whatever. But I think if you don't set clear rules, then your kiddo is going to have a hard time because it feels like, we're doing this, we're doing that, I don't know when can I have candy again. And you might be like in my household where we just were like, you know, there's no candy. And in our household, and my son from the time he was 3 understood he didn't know what candy was. So it was much easier because I did it earlier. Some of your kids already know what candy is, and if you say to them you're not getting candy, they're going to cry, right? I'm not a proponent of that. But I am not a proponent of saying, here's all the candy, have it and have at it and have it when you want it, how much you want it, because you're going to pay and so will they. Their bodies can't handle it. They're going to get dysregulated. They're not going to understand what's happening and you're going to be sorry that you did that. It's just unconscionable to just let them go crazy on the sugar and the artificial colors and the artificial flavors. Now, when I was a kid, I'm old, I'm super old, but when I was a kid, we would go trick-or-treating, we'd come home with our bags, and the very first thing that our parents would do is go through and see what was wrapped and what wasn't wrapped. And we understood that this was the rule. You don't need a single piece of candy until mom and dad have gone through it to see what's safe. Because back in my day, people were still handing out apples, but people were putting razor blades in apples and kids were getting hurt. It's terrible to think of, but that was the reality. And so, you know, parents were told on the news, you have to separate what's wrapped candy and what isn't. No, you don't take anything that wasn't manufactured and wrapped. And people have different interpretations of what they consider safe. So, you know, feel free to start whatever tradition is appropriate for you and your family, but still separate out the candy. This is allowed, this isn't allowed, right? And of the what's allowed, I would encourage you, people are going to scream and yell, but your children go to bed. Tonight, your children are going to go to bed. And I would encourage you to take all the Halloween candy, and you've gone through it in front of them, but now take it and greatly diminish it so that they're not seeing this abundanza of candy and stressing about when can I eat it, how much can I have. Like, make it easier for them. I'm not saying, you know, in my case, we had the Lego fairy come, that we said to our son, you know, that stuff is called candy, and he didn't know what that meant. And we said, but the Lego fairy loves candy, and so he's going to come in the night, and the more you have of it on the table, the bigger the Lego he's going to give you, right? And so there would always be a Lego on the table, and we just didn't deal with the candy. I understand that that is not everybody's path, but I didn't have a kid who was strung out on the sugar for days. He still had sensory issues to come down off of, and that was our choice. I'm not telling you that that has to be your choice. And especially if you have kiddos who love sugar and love candy, I want to tell you, don't do that to them. It's mean. Don't be mean to your kids. But it's also mean to just let them glut on it, because they will get dysregulated, and that is not kind either. So when they go to bed, you can take, you know, a portion of it. And if, you know, I'm not about being wasteful. Dentist's offices where I live collect candy in the days afterward, and they ship it to overseas troops as a treat for them. So that's a really good thing you can do. Or maybe you take it to the office, or you donate it someplace where you know people can use it. But if you have to, if it's what's best for your child, throw that stuff away. Because having so much of it, not so good, right? But tell them what the rules are so that they know that they have an expectation. It's sort of like what Dr. Grampy Shea says about if you had to go to work and you never knew when you were going to get paid or when you were going to get home, it would be stressful. You'd be instead of focusing on your work, you'd be asking, when can I have lunch? When do I get home? When can I get paid, right? Our kids are the same way. So tell them what's allowed, when it's allowed, how much is allowed, and where it's allowed. Be very clear about it. It doesn't have to be a lecture. You can just say, okay, so you're going to get to have two pieces of candy tomorrow. You can even say to them, which two pieces do you want to set aside that are your favorite that you want to have tomorrow? And you can have that after the homework or after dinner, whatever you think is appropriate. That part is up to you guys. But be clear about the rules. And if your kiddos, if their receptive language is not as strong as what you would like it to be to understand this, make a little chart and say two pieces of candy and put two and show two pieces of candy and have a clock, you know, make it a visual schedule for it, right? So that they can actually access it and understand it. Okay, next is that we want to sharpen our listening skills on the day after. Every kiddo is different, and what they react to is different. So this is not a one-size-fits-all. But what is one-size-fits-all is that we need to pause for a second and listen to them and listen to their little bodies. And you can see, I keep quoting, there was a woman that was at that conference that I was at 2 weeks ago, and she said, you know, I'm a big believer in we vote with our hands and our feet. That when a child is pushing away from something, that's them voting. That's them saying, I don't want that, right? Or when they're grabbing at something, that's another vote, right? And there's all the subtlety of everything in between, right? But you probably know your child more than anybody if you're focused and listening. And sometimes we get caught up in our day and it's like, well, we got to get to school. I'm going to tell you, and I'm a former school teacher, right? Nobody expects all of the children to be on time tomorrow. Nobody does. And I know sometimes it's like, well, I have to have them on time so that I can get to my job on time. But, you know, you're going to have to deal with what you have to deal with tomorrow. So try to listen to them to see what's going on, because they're going to have different reactions to, like, it might be that they're just discombobulated because the rules got changed. It might be that the sugar's going to throw them off, or the artificial colors, or the flavors. They might have a tummy ache. They might be super tired. They might be scared, right? So listen to them and see, ask yourself the question. It's kind of like a fun game that you can play. Listen to what their body is doing, listening to the things that they're telling you, both vocally and non-verbally, what they're telling you. And here are just some possible, when you're not sure, remember when you had a baby and the baby would cry and you're like, I don't know what he needs. I don't know what the problem is, right? But you had your sort of go-to list of things that you would do because you couldn't say what's going on right now. So what do? We jiggled, we burped, we walked, we looked at them to see if they were hot or cold, and we would take clothes off or put clothes on, right? We would, you know, say they must be hungry. We would give them something to drink. Those are all kind of the same sorts of things that we all sort of need. If you're feeling discombobulated and out of control, what are the things that you do for yourself? And I put a preliminary list of things here that we, you know, take a break. The other day, it was so overwhelming to me what was happening for the party prep. And one of the people that was working on the party, that was really working on the party, doing the lion's share of stuff, said, I really need a coffee, but I don't want to stop and go get one. And I said, oh, let me go get you a coffee. And she said, no, you're busy too. And I said, yes, but I need a break. I need to walk away for a minute. So I walked across the street to get her a coffee because I needed to clear my head for a moment to come back and focus on the thing that was happening next. So a break, it doesn't have to be a big, long thing, right? And we want to be careful with breaks that they don't turn into a big, long thing. But everybody can use a break from time to time. We saw people at the party that, like, needed a quiet space. Because it all, you know, in certain places of the party, it was really loud. And sometimes people just need a place to be quiet, where there's less sensory input, which I come to the next thing, that sometimes the sensory input needs to be adjusted, and some people need more and some people need less. That if you think about it, there are kids that need the pressure, that sensory input, and they need more of it. My son used to try to climb me like a tree and sit on my head. And I knew eventually, it took me a while to realize this, because he would literally climb up my arm and get on my shoulders and be pushing on my head. And that was his way of telling me that he was not regulated and that I needed to push on him. And I would literally peel him off of me and squeeze him and squeeze his head, and then he would be able to go do what he was doing. But that was his way of asking for it, right? Telling me he needed more physical input. And so listen to your kids, and sometimes they need less, sometimes they need more. But part of this is about acceptance, about accepting, oh, this is how they process the day after. This is how they process after having sugar. This is how they process being in a loud place. When my son was 5 weeks old, we took him to the movie theater for the first time. 5 weeks, not 5 years, 5 weeks. We didn't know what we were doing. As parents, you know, like, 5-month-old, let's take him to see Finding Nemo, which had just come out, by the way. So we took him to the movie theater in his little seat, and somebody had said, you know, it's going to be really loud for a baby. So we had this hat that he had that had the ear flaps on it, and we put the hat on him and pulled the ear flaps down and set him, and he watched the whole movie. He watched Finding Nemo, and you know, his little eyes, he watched everything on the screen, and he was just as fascinated, and we were like, he's a genius. And then we went home and he screamed for 6 hours. And the next day I went to the doctor and I said, I don't know what happened. And he was like, well, it's too much. It was too much. And I said, but it wasn't too much. He was fine while we were there. And he said, yes, because he's probably a pretty visual kid. He's 5 weeks old, though. He doesn't have a way to process all that. So when it was all done, you know, that was his way of processing it, was to scream for 6 hours. And he was like, you're going to have to be careful and not overwhelm him. And probably that was the first indication of something. But we would take him to places, and he would hang always as a kid. I could take him anywhere. I could take him to a concert and he would hang. But afterwards, he would have a meltdown. And so I needed to first learn to accept that that's who he was and that that's what was happening and that I had choices then, that I could, you know, not take him to things that were really loud, but he kind of liked them. So I had to learn how to sort of mitigate it and see about how much could he take. But even then, I had to accept that there was going to be this thing that would happen after we got home, and I needed to plan around it and say, yep, we're going to have a little bit of a meltdown afterwards, and I have to accept that that's him expressing how he feels about it. I don't need to get anxious about it. I don't need to think that it's going to go forever. And there are things that I can do to help him through it and not make it worse. But this is who he is. And accept that on a cellular level. But I do think one of the most basic things that we forget is that it's harder to deal with things if you have not eaten and have not had something to drink. You know, I keep going back to the party, but Sarah, who was largely running everything, who had said something about the coffee the other day, she said when she got to the party that her friends were all of them were texting her and saying, make sure you drink lots throughout the party in terms of water, that you have to hydrate. And my friends didn't do that because I'm old enough that they thought I would remember and then I was dehydrated after the party because I kept forgetting to have water. And it's really important. People don't cope when they have not had something to drink. And they don't cope when they're hungry. And we would do this when they were babies. We must not forget this when they're a little bit older. But then sleep and rest are a big thing. When our kids don't have enough sleep, they will get dysregulated. We should not be surprised by that. And I do have tips for you of things that we can do to help to make that better. But listen to them when they say that they need something. I want to say this before we go any further, though. The sleep thing, when our kids are tired, when they are overtired and they are overstimulated, then people go, oh, well, they clearly showed me that they needed to sleep, so I sent them to bed, and then they had a meltdown. Yes, because if they're overstimulated and they need sleep, you can't just put them to bed and go, you know, so that's taken care of. That's not how it's going to work. And what I encourage you to do, which is not something you're going to do every night, don't get that wrong, but when you've done a big holiday thing or something like that, instead of putting your kid to bed, you know, you can go through a series of things to get them a little bit more grounded, but then put them on the couch with you. If they like to cuddle, cuddle them. If they don't, don't. But get them a nice, warm, you know, snuzzy blanket, get them their favorite pillow, have them lay down on the couch and say, we're not going to sleep right now, but we're going to watch our favorite Disney movie together. And then that will give them a ramp down to start. They've got sensory input because they need that. They can't just go cold turkey, right? But it will be a thing that relaxes them down. And you might find that they just go to sleep on their own, at which point you scoop them up and you very gently put them in their bed. But this idea that we can go from here to going to sleep just because we're tired, we don't do that. I don't do that. I couldn't just come home from the party the other night, even though I was exhausted, and just lay down and go to sleep, right? Very few people can do that. If your kid can do that, more power to you, but I doubt highly most of our kids aren't able to do that. So don't expect that you're going to have success with that, but do put them on the couch and give them not screen time, not their iPad for them to play and control. Put a Disney video on and let them, but don't put it on high volume. Turn the lights down in the room so it's nice, conducive towards rest and sleep. And don't say to them, we're going to sleep right now. We're just going to watch a movie quietly, right? That's the thing to do. Okay. So in the days after a holiday or an event or something that where your schedule got blown, which happens a lot, especially this time of year, my suggestion is that you edit whenever possible, but wisely. I will tell you that a lot of people that I know edit and they go, oh, well, we're just not going to do therapy we don't need to go to speech therapy. We don't need to go OT. We're going to cancel with our ABA center. We're not having the therapist come to the house. This is not wise, right? These are the actual therapies that are supposed to be helping your child to deal with all the things in their life, and this is one of the many things in their life. So that's not wise. Don't cancel the help. In fact, encourage more of that. Have your child be with them because they should know how to deal with them having all of these feelings and discombobulation, right? So don't cancel therapy. I know it's hard because your child may not want to get into the car to go to therapy. And, you know, you can make all kinds of deals about, you know, and say, first we're going to do therapy and then we're going through the drive-through at this place and you're going to get this, you know, whatever. But don't cancel therapy or call ahead and say, we're having a terrible time. Can they come to the house right now? Or can somebody come out to the car to help me get them in because they're already in meltdown? But don't cancel therapy because that's the very thing that's going to help them long term to be able to deal with this. But, you know, it might be time to cancel the trip that you had planned to make to see Aunt Martha and postpone that. It may not be the best day to go get a haircut. Things that don't have to happen today, push them to the weekend. Like, don't put yourself through it. But I think the therapies, don't ever cancel those, unless somebody's running a temperature, in which case you need to. Okay. So sometimes things go off the rails. And usually around the holidays, things go off the rails. And it's important that we have strategies to cope with because our best intentions are great, but we have to deal with reality, right? And it can't all be hearts and flowers and roses. And you can't just say, well, I'm editing everything and we're not going to participate in Halloween because then you feel like you got gypped and you feel like your kid got gypped. So instead, we make our plan, we do our antecedent modification, then we do the thing, and then we got to deal with the aftermath, right? So the first thing that I say is that we have to start with forgiveness. Don't beat yourself up and say, oh, I shoulda, woulda, coulda, maybe done. No. You're doing the best that you can. And that's the truth. And if things didn't go well, okay, well, that's information. But it's not something to beat yourself up with. But I think you have to acknowledge it when that voice is talking to you going, well, you know, mine says, well, there went Mother of the Year again. You're not going to get that award, right? But I think it's fine to acknowledge that and go, well, I forgive myself for not being Martha Stewart. I forgive myself for not being, you know, the barefoot Contessa. The meal didn't go how I planned. Oh, well. Right? But then we have to quickly get into solutions, which means about triaging the problem and going, what do we actually have going on? And trying to look at the situation and take control of all the things that you can without trying to take control of all the things that you can't. Right? The serenity prayer, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Right? So we want to hydrate. First, number one on my list, if everything, and this is for all of us, right? Things are going off the rails, stop everything and drink water, right? Lower light and volume if music is playing or move away from it, right? To lessen the sensory load. It's important to eat something, and I put here a real food snack that's made from real food so I'm saying not sugar, not artificial colors, not artificial flavors. But by the way, a real food snack is potato chips. It doesn't all have to be bad and healthy food, right? Potato chips come from a potato. They're minimally processed. It's not the worst snack in the world. If you're trying to reduce weight and salt and sugar and fat and all that thing, no. But it's a real food snack. And a lot of times they're gluten-free, depending on the one. But we want to regulate the temperature, right? If we want to look at ourselves and the other people and say, are we too hot? Are we too cold? Do we need to open a window? Do we need to turn on a fan? Do we need to put on a sweater? Do we need to put on slippers? Are our feet cold? Do we need to put socks on, right? So regulate the temperature, check in with that. And then it's really important to have some sensory input, but have it be low key. So if everything's going off the rails, we absolutely can put headphones on for our kiddo, but this is not the moment to be playing heavy metal. Even if they like heavy metal, this is not the moment. And if we absolutely have to play heavy metal, we're going to play it at a volume that's really in the background, right? Because things are going or have gone off the rails. But it's perfectly okay when things are going off the rails to stop everything. If your child is like fever pitch like this, to say, hey, we're going to stop for a second. I want you to drink something, and here's your iPad. In those circumstances, give them a break. Let them have sensory input, but have it be low key, right? Okay, but it's the same for us. Okay, this is super. I think this is some of the best advice in this that I see people going, oh, I didn't know that I could do that. That's so silly. I should know that I can do this. But it's really important, especially for our kiddos on the spectrum, that we language feelings, states, and solutions. Because in the moment, they are feeling, and they may not have language to language it and say to you, I feel overwhelmed. I feel tired. I feel hot. I feel cold. And we don't want to be teaching new skills while they're having a hard time, but what we can do is stack. We're going to pair the fact that when somebody, for instance, when we see somebody who's really struggling and they're really tired, we can say, yes, you're tired. Come on, let's snuggle up so that you can have a rest. We're not saying, well, time to go to bed because you're sleepy, right? We're languaging for them. Yes, honey, what you're feeling right now is tired. Bless your heart. Come here. Come sit with me. If they like the hugs and the snuggles, not everybody does. And let's snuggle up with your favorite blanket and let's just sit here for a minute and you can rest. Because kids will do that with you and that feels like comfort and whatever if they like the snuggles. It doesn't feel punitive like, okay, it's time to go to bed. And it's more, you know, and it's allowing them to have their choice. Do you want to come and snuggle with me, right? The next one, and these are just examples, right? Yes, yes, I hear you. You're angry because candy is done for today. And that's very upsetting. But why don't we go watch a movie, a Disney movie, and maybe that will help you to feel better. Because it's important to language, yes, what you're feeling right now and validate it. Yes, you're angry. And you're angry because, you know, mom said there's no more candy today, and it's very understandable that you're angry. But let's go do this, and maybe it'll make it better, right? Because kids don't know when the feeling is going to end, and what we're doing is bridging a gap for them, and that starts with acknowledging, yes, I see that you're frustrated, and you have every right to be frustrated. Let's see if we can't do something to help with the frustration, right? I said, yes, it's sad that we don't get to wear our costumes today, and it's okay to be sad about that. Do you want to wear your new shoes or the red ones? And remember, it's really important to give choices. Yes, it's a distraction, but isn't that what we do in our lives? When we get upset about something, we give ourselves a distraction. But the real key is, do we give ourselves a healthy distraction or an unhealthy distraction? I know people who get upset about something, they're like, I gotta have a cigarette. Well, that's an unhealthy distraction. It is. But it helps them to cope. I don't know about you, but I want to help my child to have healthy distractions for himself as early as possible so that it carries over into adulthood. But how about the last one? Yes, you're cold. And I say this to all the nieces and nephews and grandnieces. I'm like, oh, bless your heart, honey. You're shivering. You're cold. Let's put a sweater on you and get you warm. So I've languaged the feeling and acknowledged it, or the state of being, and then offered a solution. But it's important to say these things out loud to the kiddos because you're pairing the state. My child never knew when he was hot or cold, but he learned if I say I'm hot, then people understand you're feeling something, right? So, but he had them flipped for the longest time. He would say I'm hot when he was cold, and he would say I'm cold when I'm hot, and he would get frustrated because if he said I'm cold, he would be hot, but people would put a sweater on him and he'd be like, what are you doing? And he wasn't getting the reward for it. And we just had to double down on languaging it ourselves for him when it was happening. We'd go, you know, so he'd say, I'm hot. And we'd say, you're cold. We wouldn't say, no, you're not, because I don't want to do that, right? I don't want to tell him no anything, but I would just say, you know, you're shivering. That means you're cold. You're hot. Look, you're sweating. That means you're hot, right? Not say the no. I want to say no as infrequently as I possibly can in his life, right? But show him evidence. You know, you're shivering. That means you're cold. You're cold right now. Let's get you a sweater, right? This is a gift that you give your kids, that if you start to language their feelings and their states, you will see that it, then they understand that they go, oh, you get it. I have communicated to you this, and it becomes like a conversation. But you also gave them the solution, which they start to pick up. They are little sponges. When we communicate effectively with our kids, they are little sponges, and they will start to see that for themselves and others. And you'll see them play it out in their play, and so on and so forth. Hey, you guys, the chat is open, too. If you have comments or questions or things you want to add to this, please feel free to do that. Here are some tips when the wheels are really going off and you really just have to keep things running. And I know we just went through this because, you know, we had COVID and it was, and I just kept thinking, okay, I don't feel well, but I got to keep the wheels on the bus. And one of the things that my niece taught me when the wheels are going off is to just run the machines. And this never occurred to me before. And now it's like a really hot tip out in the world that my niece has been telling me this for 20 years. But now all these psychologists and job coaches and everybody and these people are going on morning shows to talk about the fact that, you know, apparently modern dishwashers, you never, ever, ever should rinse your, you just put the dirty dishes right in the dishwasher and run it. I think most of us don't have those newfangled, really incredible ones that have the, they actually have a garbage disposal in the base of them. Mine doesn't have that either. Don't panic. But what people have started telling people is when things are getting overwhelming and you have a dishwasher, load it. Don't rinse anything. Load it. You might have to run it twice, but go ahead, run it twice. It's better to keep things because you can, and you don't have to worry about putting them away. If all you ever do, if things are crazy, crazy busy and all you ever do is, you know, load the dishwasher and then keep, you know, you run it and then you've got clean dishes and you can be using them as you take them out. Then it's not, you don't really have to unload the dishwasher if you do it that way. Eventually, you got to take a couple of things out before you can put more stuff in. But that's a way to keep the wheels on. And there was one psychiatrist recently that was lauded because the person was saying to them, I'm so overwhelmed, you don't understand. And I can't even do my dishes. And he said, well, could you just load the dishwasher? And they were like, yeah, but you can't just do that. And he was like, well, just keep running it. Run it like two times. Run it three times if you have to. You know, does it use a little bit of water? Yeah, probably the same amount as when you rinse them. So you run it. And the same thing with the washer and the dryer that I know for me, it's when I'm busy, it's an executive function nightmare that I have to put things in the washer and then remember to take them out and put them in the dryer. And then I got to fold everything. And the folding is the least reinforcing thing. Having clean clothes, reinforcing. But the folding, for me anyway, not so much. But when you're in the poops, so to speak, when you have the little tornado and it's a poop tornado going on and you're just trying to survive, don't worry about folding stuff. Wash it, try to remember to put it in the dryer, and forgive yourself if you don't. I have had to rewash clothes before because I left them in the washer many times, more times than I'd like to admit. Life goes on, right? But if possible, put them in the dryer and run the dryer and leave them there for as long as you need to and take clothes out of the dryer to put them on your kids. Life goes on. Yes, you're wrinkled, you know. If that's the worst thing I ever am today is wrinkled, then hallelujah, right? It's important to make sure that you still have sustenance coming into the house and the things that you need. I love that in the pandemic, we started with ordering groceries and you can ask a friend or, you know, do a service on an app. It can get a little expensive when you're having food delivered because you have to pay extra for some places, plus you have to tip the driver. It can get very expensive. So the other thing that I have learned is that almost all grocery stores now, you can go online, you can order exactly what you want, and then you set a time, and all you have to do is pull up to the store, push the button on your phone that lets them know that you're there, and they wheel it out and load it into your car for you. It takes 5 seconds and super convenient, and it costs you nothing more than if you'd gone upstairs and walked all throughout the grocery store yourself. Save yourself the time, unless having a break and walking around the aisles is really helpful to you to bring your stress level down. Otherwise, just order it, right? But look at the last one, and I was like, what else do I say but prioritize rest? And that can't always be sleep. And Dr. Graham Pichet really drills this into my head on a regular basis. She's like, well, just rest. Sit on the couch, turn the TV on, and rest. Your body needs it. And you may not be able to sleep. You may have so much going on in your head or your kid's head that sleep isn't a possibility, but rest is always a possibility, and we want to do that. So please rest. Okay. Here are some other things to keep in mind when kids are overstimulated, that doing anything quickly doesn't work. If you want a really quick fix and you want to bring them down from that overstimulated really quickly, you are going to be overloaded. You are going to be frustrated. You are going to be in a sensory nightmare. You got to go slow. And my recipe right here, this is not for all kids, but try it for your kiddo to see if it works, that it can. And that is, instead of saying to them, you need to calm down and you need to go in your room or you need to do this or you need to go to bed, whatever, is take them and do a burst of exercise. So that might mean having them run back and forth and do laps in the living room. Or, if you have access to a pool, it could be laps in the pool, or it could be jumping on the trampoline. We've done the thing before where we put one kid in the laundry basket and have laundry basket wars where another person has to push and pull them all through an obstacle course because we want them to, and this doesn't need to be an hour, but a lot of people find that 10, 15 minutes of your child exercising, enough for them to break a sweat, is great. And then we say, okay, let's take a break. And that's when you're going to give them something to drink and a healthy snack that's something. And we're going to talk about this in a second, what it isn't and what it is. And you might be shocked at what I say. I already told you potato chips is not a horrible thing. So some sort of a snack and drink, then some sort of water situation. It could be that they just get, wiped down, but I think sitting in water is that much better. So if a bath is possible, then we put the jammies on and then we put a video on. That really is the thing. Burst of exercise, the drink and the snack. The bath, the video, on the couch, not a gaming thing. Gaming involves a different part of the brain than just watching a story. So get out those Disney movies and put them on, and do that. If you really, it has to be on the iPad, then make sure that it's a long video because the saying, I want to watch this video now, uses a different part of the brain and will keep them like this, right? So find a longer video. I love all those really long how it's made or how to, where they show things on an assembly line. A lot of our kids love to watch that, but we don't want to be switching from one thing to another. Not that. Okay, what are we feeding them? So the guidelines here are no or low sugar. So if our kids are overstimulated, even fruit is probably not your best choice. I mean, each kid is different, right? But trying to be mindful about no sugar, no caffeine. I know people who give their kids coffee and then say, I can't get them to bed at night. And it's like, well, there is an equation there, if you're willing to see it, that maybe perhaps your child should not be drinking caffeine. And just like adults, I know adults who are like, I can't have caffeine after 10 o'clock in the morning or I'm not going to sleep. Let's not pretend that we don't know these things, right? I'm saying no artificial colors and flavors. I really feel like you should get rid of those now anyway, and that when you're sorting the candy, enough people like me will have bought candy that is does not have artificial colors and flavors. They sell it at Target, for heaven's sakes. It's not like you have to go to Whole Foods to get it anymore. But a lot of people are going to give you candy with all kinds of artificial colors and flavors. I say sort that stuff out and donate that someplace else, right? Your child doesn't need it, and we know that our kids don't process it well. But then I'm going to say, and this is when they're overstimulated, so maybe, you know, earlier in the day is fine, but no chocolate. Because guess what? Chocolate has caffeine in it. Now, the one exception I would say to you is if you want to do hot chocolate, but then I would make it very blonde hot chocolate. Make it more the hot milk, because hot milk has tryptophan in it, will help to bring them down. And you can have a little bit of hot chocolate in it to make it so that they'll drink the hot milk, but make it really, really light chocolate milk. Hey, Mab. You were laughing about, cause your daughter climbed on your head too. I used to be like, I am a palm tree and he is the monkey that's going to climb up there to pick a banana, and there's no bananas coming out of my head. Yeah, it happens. But anyway, I know this is a ginormous bummer that I just threw at you, but remember, I'm talking about, I would be real strict with this when your child is overstimulated, right? Now, you figure out like when they can have the candy, when they want to have it, but once we get to that overstimulation point, and I said already, put the limits on the candy, once we get to overstimulated, I would not do any more candy for the day. But so what are better choices if your child needs to have some food put into them and we're not going to feed them candy? Well, carrots are very sweet. And I noticed that a lot of kids will eat carrots if you put it with ranch dressing, you know? And they even have a vegan ranch dressing now. So, and there's something about the being able to dip the carrot and they have a little bit more control over it, how much dip they want on it. And crunching, you know, some kids will eat them, some kids won't. But notice what else is on the list. You could give a bag of chips. I particularly like that Lay's is gluten-free, and a lot of chips are gluten-free, right? And they have some really healthy chips. Some of them are even, you know, beets and things like that. I don't think when your child is overstimulated is the time to introduce a new food. But notice that they're in this category, like I really am going for comfort food here. Now, some of you are going to go, now you said no sugar, but this is all carbs. Yes. But carbs, when they are in a complete form or close to a complete form, take much, much longer to enter the bloodstream as sugar than mainlining candy, right? Right? So we want comfort food, and some of this stuff will soak up some of the other stuff that they've put into their bodies that they're having a hard time with, like the caffeine and the sugar and the artificial colors and flavors. You know, a sandwich is a reasonable thing to give a child, but maybe not a full sandwich, you know, because it's not like we're trying to give a meal here, but, you know, some kids just like toast with a little bit of, you could put a little bit of jam or jelly on it. I prefer to get those with no sugar, not the sweetener crap in it that's artificial sweetener, but there's like just fruit, cooked fruit, jellies and jams that are out there that are really good, or just putting a little bit of butter on a piece of bread and doing that. Or what would be ideal is if your child would have a piece of bread with something like turkey that again has tryptophan in it, and turkey is protein. You know, but you could make tuna salad, you could make egg salad, whatever, to go on the sandwich that your child already loves to eat and finds comforting. And notice I put tater tots too, because tater tots, potatoes have, you know, a little bit of that tryptophan effect that, you know, my son used to love mashed potatoes. And I know for the purists out there, it's like, oh no, is she going to say instant mashed potatoes? Yes, I am. Let me evoke instant mashed potatoes, because that, you know, you put mashed potatoes in somebody's belly and it automatically takes everything. It's comfort food. And it's like, oh, I just feel better, right? And I get organic, no processed. I get them at Sprouts. And I stock up on them this time of year. So I get a big bag of them organic. They're just dehydrated potatoes. And then I can control how much sugar and fat goes into them. It's great. And it takes, all you have to do is boil the water and then you stir the potatoes in and it's ready. It doesn't even take a minute. It takes however long it takes to boil water. But I also love the tater tot thing. And my son goes through phases where he loves spicy things and other times he doesn't. So sometimes we jazz the tater tots up. I happen to really love Paul Prudhomme's Cajun spices. And all I do is, put them in the oven and then sprinkle them with some Paul Prudhomme and ooh, that's some good Cajun tater tots. Not for little kids who don't like, hot, spicy on their tongue. But tater tots are comforting. And they're gluten-free and they don't have dairy. So if you get the right ones. So all of these things, but also you could do popcorn. I don't like to put a lot of salt on things, but you can do popcorn. Is a great because there's a certain amount of chewing and I have to like take a piece at a time. Yes, it might make a little bit of a mess, but sit in front of the TV with the blanket, with the popcorn. It's all good, right? Okay, but let's talk a little bit about hydration. And this is on my mind because I didn't do this on Saturday night and I was a mess yesterday. I'm still a mess because of it. My lips are like chapped I'm going to pause. Water. And I know kids don't like to drink water. This is what I hear all the time. Oh, kids don't like water. And I love you all and I'm giving you a hug right now, but I'm going to hit you with some truth here. Kids do love water. Kids love water. And kids will drink water and they will drink plain water, but not if everything else that they've been given has sugar in it. That's when kids don't love water. If I'm a kid and you give me a choice of water or Kool-Aid, I'm going to choose Kool-Aid. Every time I'm going to choose that, unless I've been raised in a house that didn't have that, and then I might choose the water. But if as you're transitioning your child to liking more water, you can do just plain water and you can try it room temperature, chilled or ice cold. I don't think ice cold is good for anybody. It can cause stomach cramps in kids. But if that's what they super duper love, hey, I'll go with the flow. A lot of kids like the bubble with waters and they like the ones that come in different flavors. Some kids hate that. I would try a flavor that that you think they're going to like before we got Costco was selling the Waterloo cans of sparkling water the other day, and they were holiday flavors. So it's cranberry and grape, and then the last set of it is called spiced apple. And I thought, oh, that sounds so good. I like it is so cinnamony, I can't handle it. It's not my favorite. And if I gave that to a child who doesn't like cinnamon, they would never want to drink sparkling water again. You know what I'm saying? It tastes like beer that somebody dumped cinnamon in is what it tastes like to me. It's not a good thing. But a lot of kids might like lemon, bubble water. That's what we always called it, water with bubbles, bubble water. If you need help getting a child to like water, you can take and start, you take apple juice or orange juice, whatever they like, but it works a little bit better with apple juice. And you start out and you make a cup for them and you half it. So half of it juice, half of it water. It will still taste enough like the juice at half and half for them to drink it. They may not love it, but they will still drink it because it's flavored enough. And then gradually over time, you decrease the amount of apple juice so that eventually it's just a splash. And that's fine. Give your kids water and put a splash of juice into it. That's super fun. Or you could even put cut up fruit in it. A lot of people like that. Some kids, though, it just throws them completely off. It's not for everybody. But for some kiddos, it's like put two grapes in their water and put it in the bubble water. And it's a sensation of, oh, I'm going to drink it because I want to get to the bottom to the two grapes. It becomes a game. Can be fun. Okay. But here's something really important that I want to say about all these things. Cold turkey is never a good strategy for anybody. I'm sure that somebody could argue this with me, but especially when we're talking about people on the spectrum, it's not the way to do anything because it runs more of a risk of upsetting the individual, and then you got to backtrack from that. So my advice always is to go slow. If you've been pounding the candy all this week and suddenly you got to today and you see that your kid is falling apart and you're like, oh, I didn't listen. I don't know what to do now. So now we're going to hardcore. You're only, and they've been allowed to have unlimited candy before today, and now you're going to go to two pieces of candy tomorrow. It's going to feel like hell for them. And I don't think that that's a good place to start. You want to, if your baseline is that they've been allowed to have 17 pieces of candy a day, then I wouldn't go less than half of that for tomorrow. But then I would have that the day after so that we're slowly stepping them down. But not, I wouldn't go more than half in any given day because it's too fast and it's not kind. And we want them to have a pleasurable experience to get, you know, to the point where they're not, again, mainlining sugar. But be kind. And we also have to replace with other things. So if we're not pounding the candy, what are we doing instead? And make sure that it's fun things that you're doing, like watching videos. It's that time of year. There's all these things to watch. So, and that we're giving them praise for being reasonable and acknowledging for them, yes, it's hard that we've eaten all the candy that we can for today and you have feelings about that. You're allowed to have your feelings about that. Yes, you're sad. Yes, you're frustrated. Yes, you're mad. We're not negating any of that. Language it for them and say, hey, how about this? How about we go and draw a picture together? So you're not saying, you know, get over it, but you're giving them a choice to go focus on something else. We have to replace and then say, hey, you did really well. That's great drawing that picture. Okay, so that's what I had to say about that. And we went over as usual. But I'm not going to stay over. I hope that all of you breathe today. Breathe today and accept that it is this holiday and there's going to be good and there's going to be frustrating and there are going to be people who are going to expect your child to behave in a certain way, which is just not going to be possible. And instead of getting bogged down in what isn't and what could have been and what might have been, I would love for you to just acknowledge, first of all, today that you are fabulous, that you are amazing, that you are showing up for the people in your life and doing what you have to do, and you are doing it to the best of your ability. That's it. The best possible thing that, you know, you set up. And you might be able to say to yourself, well, but I could have done this. No, because you had other things going on. So excuse yourself, forgive yourself, congratulate yourself for being the fabulous person that you are, and then just try to find some way to be present during everything that happens, and then tomorrow you can start on all this, and we can get you sort of back on track just in time for Thanksgiving, and we'll get you back on track after Thanksgiving just in time for Hanukkah and for Christmas and for New Year's, right? It's never ending. We're on the treadmill now. We're here. It's Halloween. So I'm sending you all love. I hope that your kids have one moment of pure joy today and that you are present to see that, because that's the memory that you're going to walk away with. And hopefully you already have a picture. So later on, 3 years from now, I want you to be able to look at that picture of them in the costume, and the memory that I want you to have is of that moment of pure joy that your child had. So I'm wishing that for you, hoping that that happens and that you find the breath and the centeredness to deal with all the other things, because there will be other things. So much love to you. Happy Halloween, everybody. We tomorrow's show, you're going to see the second hour of what we taped with Dr. Grant Pichet last week. And then I'll be back with you on Wednesday. On Wednesday, we've got a great guest. Amanda Ralston is going to be here with us. She is the founder of Non-Binary Solutions, an amazing, amazing ABA-based but other things-based company as well. And she's going to be talking with us about intensity and what that should look like with good ABA. I'm so excited because she speaks and I go, oh my gosh, she's singing my song. So anyway, May says we won't go trick-or-treating, just handing out candy. She can't have a few pieces of candy. My son couldn't either. The doctor had said that if we weren't careful, that he could end up being diabetic because so many people in my, she can have a few pieces of candy. Okay, well, that's great. My son couldn't have any, but he will tell you, it wasn't torture for him. He got a big Lego, and tonight there will be all kinds of candy available to him, and I will tell you, he will eat two pieces of it, and he'll go, I'm sugared out, and he won't have any more candy for a week because he's like, oh, I still got that sugar in my system from whatever. He's the most well-adjusted person around sugar that I've ever met in my entire life. So he has not been harmed by this. But have fun handing out the candy. I sort of enjoy that. I enjoy that more than trick-or-treating. Seeing all the kiddos, and they come up, and I have lots of treats that aren't candy, and then treats that are, that don't have artificial colors and flavors. They do have sugar in them because, you do what you can. All right, but they can pick pencils and spider rings and things like that. I always have something for the kiddos that don't do candy. All right, I will see you on Wednesday. Until then, give your kiddos a hug from me and one for you too. Happy Halloween, you guys.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.